You know, a lot of lives changed on 911, but arguably no more than the life of Dr. Judy Wood. She was like all of us that morning, just transfixed to the television. But what she saw was something she thoroughly didn't understand. And she should, having a PhD from Virginia Tech, a professor of mechanical engineering. She knows this stuff backwards and forwards, and what she saw defied anything. Now, of course, at that moment, she figured a lot of her colleagues were on board. Yeah, wait till you hear this story. In the meantime, I've got a link at Raleigh.net to Where Did the Towers Go? I think it is the definitive book on what happened on 911, and I am pleased to welcome Dr. Judy Wood to WGN Radio. Thanks for joining us, Judy.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
I think about you probably every day because we're now almost two decades from that fateful morning. And when you witnessed what was going on, I'm sure initially you thought you would have a lot of colleagues on board with you. What happened?
That was the scariest day of my life because I remember sitting in the faculty conference room looking at the reruns on the television set of this building poofing out into dust and looking around the room like, don't you guys see this? Isn't this weird? And they looked at me like I was a wacko. They were already just swallowed up by the media, being directed to go where the media took them. So I went up to my office and I tried to do some calculations about like how long it would take this stuff to hit, because it just poofed really quickly. The North Tower took 8 seconds. Well, the ground shook for 8 seconds. It takes 9.5 seconds in a vacuum to drop a bowling ball off the roof of the building, have it hit the pavement. In other words, this building didn't slam to the ground. It mostly turned to dust in midair.
That alone, and again, you go back to your office, because I'm sure at that moment when everybody is buying at hook, line, and sinker, you think to yourself, well, maybe I'm off. I got to do the calculations. So here's something that you studied for years, did dissertation in that would be related. We're teaching this every day in school, and everything you were seeing defied anything you knew, and absolutely nobody said, yeah, this is a problem. Now, in the last 20 years, whether quietly or openly, have other scientists come forth and said, yeah, I know exactly what you saw?
Yes, I've had engineers read my book and contact me and say, oh my gosh. There's one that even quit his job to make a movie about this and put it online. It gets censored a lot, you can imagine.
Yeah.
But, you know, several, but they don't want their name out there. They want to hide in the shadows because, like, there's some that are do consulting work, and they'd be out of business.
Well, that's pretty much what happened to you. Now, as you started to press the issue, and, of course, it is well documented in Where Did the Towers Go, what happened to your academic career?
Well, I left the university to pursue, you know, what happened, because I felt like nothing was more important. Plus, I was in a position that it was easier for me without family members to harass. And because somebody who has, kids going to college and house mortgage payments and all that and a big family, they can't do that. Plus, their family members would be threatened, like we're seeing with other things recently. And it's how people get manipulated. But also being a female, it becomes easier. They think it's easier to marginalize.
Right.
She's not serious because none of her colleagues are standing up behind her and whatnot. And I ran into that quite a lot. And I think that's one thing that kept me alive. But there's something else I'd like to point out. You know how I got started? You know, I waited 4 years.
Yeah.
And you know why?
What was up?
Well, the 2000 presidential election. In Florida, everything went haywire, and, you know, hanging chads and all that. And then the grown-ups said, well, we can't fix this election, but we'll fix it the next one. And then 9/11 happened, and the grown-ups were going to look into that, too. In 2004, the ballot business went haywire in in Ohio. It's not about which party. It's like, it, does your vote count is the issue. And at that point, I went, wait a minute. It's, they're not going to fix that. They're not going to fix 9/11. You know, they are, they're not going to, somebody has to do it. Whose job is it? This is our country, our planet. And I felt like I was in a position to do it and had to do it no matter what.
And you did. And one of the real credible things here is you're not coming out and saying so-and-so perpetrated this or this group perpetrated this.
Mm-mm.
You're saying here's the science. And with that in mind, and I love the term justification, that is yours all the way. Obviously, when you did your initial calculations and found out that this didn't compute, you didn't stop there. So tell me, after all the calculations and all the research, what happened?
Well, put it in concise terms, the buildings didn't burn up, nor did they slam to the ground. They mostly turned to dust in midair. Smaller particles of dust than anything we've seen before. It was on the order of the size of DNA. 1/100th of the size of red blood cells. So you can imagine with this dust being inhaled, you know, humans aren't made to inhale that kind of thing. And that's another weird thing. But what I also saw is, okay, as I looked at the evidence more and more, you let the evidence speak to you. You let the evidence tell you what happened. If you don't know what happened, keep listening to the evidence until you do. And then that's why I come up with terms like justification. If you assign another term to it, you're going to be assuming a cause. Like if you call it smoke, well, you're assuming fire to be the cause. And for me, the definition of justification is whatever it was that happened. And so if you come up with terms like that, they're placeholders until you know what the mechanism is. And there's another phenomenon called fuzzballs. You see people right after the building went poof, didn't collapse, it went poof. you're looking westward in this nice, clear, blue sky, and you see somebody walk along with their feet through dust, and they, as they step, they get this fluff kicking up. You realize it's aloft now. It couldn't have settled out of the sky and air that fine of powder. It had to be coarse powder when it landed and then became fine powder. In other words, it was still breaking down.
Wow. Wow. Now, at that point, clearly nobody had any explanation for the mechanism of this. And so as you looked further, what did you discover?
Well, there's some natural occurring phenomenon like this, one of which is tornadoes.
Okay.
You know, like I happened to, or our family went to Topeka, Kansas,
mm-hmm.
right after, I think it was 1966, June 8th, when there's that horrendous tornado that went through town.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on our way westward. We lived in Kansas City at the time. And it made like a 22-mile-long path, and the widest point was like half a mile. And from a little tyke there, I thought it was an apartment building, but it was probably a dorm of the college.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like it just sliced the building in two. You could see somebody had made their bed. There's some magazines or books on the bed and magazines on the dresser, clothes hanging in the closet. And the building was just sliced.
Right.
Half of it was gone. And you hear about tornadoes lifting stuff up, like, you know, Toto,
right.
You know, the Wizard of Oz and the house, you know, being picked up. Yeah, why do they float? It's not a vacuum. It's anti-gravity. But when I saw the remains of Building 4, it was like an X-Acto knife sliced off most of the north wing, and it remained, and the rest of the building was just gone. From across the street, if you had some binoculars, you could read what was on somebody's desk. And it reminded me of the same thing. It's just like, you know, buildings is gone. And that's where the tipping top of Tower 2 was aimed, but didn't get there. It didn't punch through the ground. The mall right underneath Building 4, there was pictures with the rescue workers walking upright. You can read Innovation Luggage, Hallmark Cards, so you know right where that is. And that's another thing. Tipping top of Tower 2, it starts tipping, and then it stops tipping and goes down. It appears to violate the laws of physics.
Right.
But what that is proof that it was turning to dust and breaking down. Because the law of conservation of angular momentum, it was no longer a rigid body rotating. Each little particle was now rotating. So that could conserve the law of conservation of angular momentum. But as a whole, it appeared to stop rotating. That's pretty slick.
Well, yeah, it's again pretty unknown. So here is Dr. Judy Wood, and I've got a link to the book on Raleigh.net, by the way, as well as Dr. Wood's website. And she knows of what she speaks clearly, and she's seeing something she's never seen before. And, well, maybe some tornadic activity to a degree. But even so, we'll pick it up right there. Because, again, you and I, maybe we know absolutely nothing about science when it comes down to it. But for a scientist who has not only studied but teaches it, done a dissertation in it, and is seeing this kind of thing, clearly in a position to know that what she saw is something that just can't happen. So what did happen? We'll pick it up there on WGN Radio.
Something's missing from my life.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Something's missing, all right. And what's interesting is how even individuals with scientific knowledge were able to be easily misdirected about what they were seeing on 911. Dr. Judy Wood wasn't one of them, and she's written Where Did the Towers Go? And it is a fascinating book, and we've been talking about this for a long time, and it's still just the concept sends chills down my spine. So clearly, Dr.
The information in the book isn't solely about 9/11. That happens to be the example used,
yeah.
But it's really a course in critical thinking that you first need to determine what happened before you can say how it happened. You have to define what it is that happened.
Yes.
And then only then do you get to who and why and all that. Yet we heard on 9/11 they did this because they hated us for our freedoms. What was it that happened? That never got determined. And that goes to everything.
And you're so right about that. And even today, it seems like critical thinking, like basic logic, has gone out the window more and more as time has gone on. You witness this with many individuals across the spectrum where they no longer know how to think, they know what to think. And they're
exactly
comfortable in that knowledge, and I think you and I are not, to say the least. So with that in mind, so here, short of some things you saw in tornadic activity, and we'll get to the cars, which were fascinating, where cars would literally be destroyed and right next to them, not an ounce of damage. But
or part of the cars.
Right,
even.
Right, exactly. Where a portion of the car is just toast, so to speak, and the rest of the car is like absolutely nothing happened. So as you look at that and you say, what could cause this, as I say, other than tornadic activity, what did you conclude?
Well, it's important not to tell the witness where it should go, but to listen to it. And then you end up seeing other phenomena like that, and it just was weird, but I had all these different categories, toasted cars, lathering up, fuzzballs, dustification. And then I happened to trip onto somebody's blog in the middle of the night. Like, wait a minute, it looks like 9/11, but this is some guy's living room. And that was John Hutchison.
Mm.
And he could reproduce every one of the effects. I'm calling this parallel evidence. That's, mm-hmm. You know, you can't say one thing one way or the other, but imagine a piece of a steel beam bent like a pretzel without any cracks in the metal. Or holes in it, just kind of half withered away, half dustified.
Yeah.
How do you explain that? Ah, here's the best one. And I've seen this since the book came out, but I should add it in at the end. Remember when the Pope visited a few years ago?
Sure.
And went to the 9/11 memorial. They had this Bible artifact that has formerly liquid metal stuck to the pages that resolidified. Why was it liquid? The pages are not burnt. The metal flowed over the page and then resolidified.
Whoa.
And I was curious what the Pope would do in that clip. He just bows his head down and says a prayer to himself or something, and then goes on. He would not make eye contact with it. It was interesting. But how many people look at that and see that? And that's part of our lack of thinking system. People see what they expect to see. They're busy, like a multiple choice test. They're busy just trying to, you know, pattern match.
Mm-hmm.
And not determine what it is they're looking at and to see what it is they're looking at. And that seems to be something that's becoming less and less. And then people make models and people of whatever it is. And people say, oh, then the computer model must be true. There's fewer and fewer engineering places that are doing experimental work. You know, universities, because it takes so much lab space, you can put in a whole lot of computers and do it in this fictitional world of models. And let me just read you down a quick list of things that we've modeled and gotten wrong. 9/11, climate change, COVID, voting polls. You see a pattern there. There's a model, and people buy into it, whatever it is. And that's so easy to trick them to jump past that stage of what happened.
Exactly, exactly. It's as if they want the conclusion to match their worldview, whatever it is, and everything in the middle
exactly.
Be damned. And, you know, especially when we're talking about where did the towers go, there is an awful lot of information about what controlled demolition looks like. You can't look mm-hmm. anywhere online without seeing this upfront and personal, yet it seems that all of that goes out the window. So that's where we're going to pick it up. We're talking about where did the towers go. Dr. Judy Wood has written the book. I've got a link on Raleigh.net. And, yeah, I find it fascinating that she is almost a lone voice in this, because this should be the question everyone is asking, because the answer far eclipses all the horror of 911. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Going, going, gone. Yeah, that's exactly the story. The Broadway's 1966 on MGM, and no, it didn't chart. Trey Martin arranged it, though. We'll have him on some Monday night. We're talking with Dr. Judy Wood. Where did the towers go? It is a fascinating tale, but it is. I was going to say so interesting, but probably so disheartening that the drama we were seeing at the time, people wanting to be misled, and I say that because so willingly being misled, has been perpetrated today pretty much into every aspect of life. We have lockstep mentality now, and those who dare to question are seen to be the enemy. We just heard that on a soundbite on the news. So if anything, this is increasing, and that's got to make you feel pretty bad, Judy.
Yeah. I remember reading something before I wrote my book that the truth would never come out because most people couldn't handle it. And no way, you can handle it. I've come to see that a lot of people can't.
Yeah.
They have their ideology. They don't want it disturbed with information.
Right, yeah. Don't let the facts get in the way. Heaven forbid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here, I've got a good example of that. There's this organization that's this goal is to prove that bombs caused it. So now they're setting up a false choice. They hired a forensic engineer from the University of Alaska to take on some graduate students to model what happened to WTC-7 as a fire and show that it can't work. Well, instead of figuring out what happened, this guy sets out to do this model. And he couldn't figure it wouldn't work, but he couldn't figure out what actually happened to the buildings. And here's the conclusion, statement from the conclusion of their final report. Is our conclusion, based on these findings, that the collapse of WTC-7 was a global failure involving the near simultaneous failure of all columns in the building and not a progressive collapse involving the sequential failure of columns throughout the building? Yes, I agree. but the fact that you have a near simultaneous failure of every column in the building, bombs can't do that.
Right, yeah, that was where I was going. Okay, I agree with his conclusion. Now, exactly
how
did that happen?
In a later interview, he said, this is the first time I've ever seen a failure come down where the concrete was powder instead of broken chunks. The same with respect to the steel.
Yeah, but he's still hell-bent on, he had a conclusion, and boy, he's going to prove it. All right, Doug in Chicago wants to join us. Welcome to WGN Radio, Doug.
Thank you, Raleigh. My daughter was a homeschooled high schooler, and one of the things she studied was art, and part of it was architecture. And we got a videotape out of the library that actually showed a wireframe twin towers and an airplane flying into it. And they said because of the construction of those buildings, It was like a straight tube from top to bottom, and that if an airplane crashed near the top, it would make like a Bunsen burner effect, draw cold air in from the bottom, superheat it, and burn it at the top. Well, I saw this like 6 months before, 9/11 happened, and I said, oh, wow, that's a gimme. And I got a feeling seriously that those guys saw the same videotape that I did and got the idea to do it.
Well,
I don't know who planned what, but you look at the buildings, you've got unburned paper fluttering through the air.
Yeah.
So it wasn't high heat.
And that's
and
the, that's
also the second, third, and fourth floor of Tower One. You had survivors who thought they're goners. The building seemed like it was coming down. They thought, and they just kind of hunkered down in the stairwell. And then when the dust cleared, they looked up and saw blue sky and walked out. And where did the 106 stories go?
Yeah.
You know, it was bizarre. They didn't get crushed. They didn't get burned up. They walked out.
In the videotape, they made the statement that the architectural method would have to be changed so there wasn't a continual path for air from the basement to the top floor.
Well, that's all well and good, but it doesn't explain most of what we saw on 911.
No.
Yeah, but that
it doesn't.
Actually, the design of the towers came from biomimicry, noticing how trees, because these buildings are going to be tall, they need to sway in the breeze like trees, and trees have rings, and that's what makes them strong.
Well, I'm delighted that you homeschooled, and I bet your children are better off for it. So thanks for calling, Doug.
Yes, sir. Have a good day. Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
bye-bye.
That's fine. All right, Tom is in Covington. You're on WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh and Dr. Wood. I missed the first part of the program. You may have already stated what you're doing now, but I know you lost your job as a physics professor because you wrote that book and dared to disagree with the baloney.
Well, if I wanted to get a job, I'm a hot potato.
Yeah.
As it was while I was still teaching, all sorts of trolls emailed my department chair, the dean. It was disruptive.
Yeah.
It was just, and I even had, the word doxing wasn't out then, but the guy I was renting my house from, I didn't realize what books he'd written, what businesses he owned, but there it was on the internet. The trolls had looked it up. It's stuff like that. They're just trying out that kind of thing for the first time. But I just put my head down, what is. This wasn't about who did it. You first have to figure out what happened, and that's what I was set out to do.
Yeah. All right, Tom.
Well, I remember I was listening to the radio, and I heard that going on. I went and turned on the video machine, and I don't think they ever repeated the video on the news of people jumping out of the top floors and going splat on the concrete. And also, they came out with the bologna sausage story that the heat from the jet fuel burning heated up the steel and weakened it. Well, the buildings came straight down like a demolition. They didn't topple over. And the jet fuel burns at something like 800 degrees, and it takes about 2,000 degrees to get steel hot enough for it to bend. Plus the fact that the planes flying into the buildings.
They didn't come down.
Yeah, right. Right.
No, exactly. Well, in 1945, I think it was a four-engine prop plane that hit the Empire State Building in New York City. My dad was in a hotel down the street, and he heard it. He said it started fire.
You're right, exactly.
Yeah, the engines went completely through the building and fell down to the street on the other side of the building.
Yeah.
It didn't permanently damage the structure of the building. It just caused some fires. So, and the biggest, almost probably as big or bigger baloney was the Oklahoma City Murrah building.
Well, that's a whole other story. Where car bombs are directional. All right.
Yeah.
They make cylindrical cutouts in the building.
Yeah, exactly. And the windows across the street were not touched at all, of course.
Right. Oh, they had toasted cars there, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, isn't it in your book, I think you said that something I had never heard of before, I think called taconite, is capable of vaporizing steel and concrete?
That what?
Taconite, C-A-C-O-N-I-T-E, I think the military had or something like that it could vaporize steel and concrete.
This wasn't vaporized. The temperature was lowered relative to ambient temperature, according to the witnesses, and according to the paper you see fluttering around, the unburned paper.
Yeah, that's what's fascinating about it. Tom, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. That's what I mean about defies anything we know. Fire without heat, heat without fires. And I assume
bending of metals without cracking it.
Right. And you've got some pictures of that in Where Did the Towers Go, in fact, and many pictures of much of this. But
another interesting phenomenon as regard to explosions that people heard, there was particular things that were identified. You know the air tanks the firefighters wear so they can breathe clean air when they go into a smoky area? At street level, they were exploding.
Whoa.
If the thing starts to dustify or it starts to weaken, that pressure is cutting loose at some point.
So with all of that, and with now almost 20 years later, have you been able to draw any conclusions about what happened?
I see parallel evidence. The next time you see a tornado, think of that. Like, remember the flying trucks in Dallas-Fort Worth area a few years ago?
Right.
Yeah, and then they were gently set down. They had nothing in them, so the trailers kind of slumped over a little bit, but they didn't get trashed, and dumpsters didn't take off. One difference, and also why tornadoes like trailer parks, they're not as well grounded. If the charge can build up faster than it discharges. So getting grounded is a good idea. That's why the cars dustified, but the street signs didn't.
Which makes you think that this technology, because clearly we didn't see a tornado on that day, yet we're seeing the force of one. Technology has implications well beyond 911. We're largely talking about free energy technology.
Exactly. And they showed it to us, so, Tesla didn't want to bring it into existence because it might be used for evil purposes. Well, already been there, done that, so that's not a risk anymore. Might as well use it for good. Free energy that's clean, it's just unlimited almost, it seems.
Well, of course, that upsets the economic model of those who seek to control us or those who say that that we're going to have to stop industry because of global warming or what have you. There are so many paradigms that get turned on its head with that. But again, to have video of this and literally a lot of preservation of this, and to not look at this to talk about what did we see is startling to me. I was sure when we first talked well over a decade ago that by now something would have come out, and you continue to be the lone voice.
Well, remember I took this case to court.
Yes.
That the NIST report was fraudulent because they never determined what happened. They only published a model of what could have, might have, maybe happened. Again, it was modeling rather than looking at what actually did happen. And I went to the Court of Appeals, and only then did I realize the significance of this case. The judges dismissed it, but were respectful enough to put in the footnote that they're dismissing, they had to ignore the law in order to dismiss the case.
Fascinating.
And like, okay, that's when I realized they don't want to get dustified on the way home from work.
Right, right. Well, obviously, we haven't seen a display of this magnitude of the energy anyway, but it makes you wonder if in some situations that it isn't being used for other reason. Because when you're talking about directed free energy, this has a lot of wonderful implications, and it does make me wonder, do you think any work of this is going on somewhere?
Maybe in somebody's basement, but the good thing about putting this out in the open, if people know about it, they can develop it out in the open. Not, you know, the secrecy of their basement, they get suicided. Yeah. But if it's out in the open and just everybody knows about it, if half the population read my book, we would have free energy.
And if a tenth of those understood what they read, I'm sorry to say, because, again, if you come at it from a worldview that is completely devoid of logic and you're used to the comfort of, well, the talking head told me and the major media told me, so it's got to be true, they're predisposed against you on principle, because then you become the feared enemy.
Yes, very much. I like what John Hutchison said when Jesse Ventura interviewed him.
Yeah.
He said, well, with this, why are you still alive? And he smiled and grinned, you know, and said, because I'm a raving lunatic.
Exactly.
No, he pretends he's a raving lunatic, and then they leave him alone.
This is so true. No, I had a friend a zillion years ago, and maybe he is crazy now. I don't know. We haven't been in touch in a while. But I remember so many years ago, before the Clintons were even elected, Larry Nichols, and he pretty much said, I'm going to become a carnival act. I'm going to be so visible, nothing's going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, he was nothing if not that. And so that's a good point. If you come into this finding a way to marginalize yourself, you're no longer a target. And again, without enough public interest and public outcry, literally a technology that could turn the world on its ear in terms of free energy continues to be something to be feared. It's alarming to me.
Yeah. It's another statement I love. Who controls the energy controls the people.
Oh, of course.
But he who controls their perception controls everything.
Oh, God. Absolutely. I'm down with that 100%. Where did the towers go? Evidence of directed free energy technology on 911. If you haven't read it, you should. If you're saying, well, I don't know, I'm not going to buy a copy of the book. Well, I think you should, by the way. But then just go to drjudywood.com. It's drjudywood.com. And you will see enough to hopefully spark your interest in something that absolutely can affect you. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Tavares in the background. Heaven must be missing an angel. Yeah, we're talking about missing. Yeah, logic is missing. Buildings are missing. And anything that anyone knows about science is not in evidence. Yet, the lockstep mentality is, oh, 911, yeah, it's exactly as the media portrayed it. Again, this is not about who did this. This is about what did you see? What is this technology? And Dr. Judy Wood, who has literally put her life and her career on the line to go into this and has all the goods to know what she's talking about, Where Did the Towers Go? Is the book Evidence of Directed Free Energy Technology. And, you know, Judy, I know we've discussed this over the years, but one of the questions that comes up all the time, and I've never heard it succinctly answered, is, well, some of this, if this were by the story that the media has given us and everybody else, we'd see remnants of plane engines or something. But it seems like all of the evidence turned to dust.
If we're even assuming that's what made the Wile E. Coyote hole in the building.
Right.
And the building went poof in the same way. There's witnesses, and that's in my book, witnesses who thought another plane was coming in because he saw an explosion. He never saw a plane. And people then said it was a plane. So he heard that same weird sound again, a whistling kind of sound. And then he got his camera out and got ready because he was going to catch it this time. And then he saw the building turn to dust in his camera view and then decided to run for it.
Yeah,
it's chilling. Like the same technology.
Yeah, absolutely chilling. But even if it did happen the way the story goes, the evidence wouldn't be as it is. You know, assuming a plane hits a building, they do hit buildings. We've seen what happens. They don't turn to dust.
Correct. Especially an hour later.
Well, and that's the part I don't get in this, is that, like you say, look at the evidence. Well, even the evidence on the ground belies the official story.
Yeah. A good report was from George Stephanopoulos the next day, just about 25 hours later. He's there, and Peter Jennings is in the studio, and George says, George, Jackie Judd and several others have been asking, where did the buildings go? Where's all the rubble? And George says, well, Peter, I've been asking folks that. And one volunteer, Robert Gerlinski, explained all fell down into the ground, was pulverized, evaporated.
How does that happen?
You have to feel sorry for him. He's there to tell the world what's happening, and that's the best he could do. But he is recording the fact that there's a lot of building missing.
Well, right. On all of this. And
he's trying to fit it into a conclusion, and that's the best he could do.
And I guess maybe that's the worst indictment against any science education there's ever been, that people lockstep have bought this because it's...
They look into multiple choice. Well, I only know about bombs and I only know about gravity collapses and eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Rather than, let's just look at the evidence. Even if you've not seen that before, pretend you're Native American and it's the first time you've seen white man and that thing that shoots bullets. You don't know what it is, but it shoots a bullet fast enough and hard enough to kill your brother. You don't have to know what it was. You saw what it did.
Right, and there's all the anecdotal evidence in the world that people witnessing something that they have no idea exists don't see it. And, story after story about this, but here it is. The evidence has been preserved from the standpoint of video and all that, and it seems like...
Lots of images.
We're no closer today than we were 19 years ago.
Nobody wants to know. It's if people want to know, they can know, but they're afraid, I guess. Or they want to stay with the herd.
Yeah.
That's another problem that happens.
Yeah, then now we're getting into human nature, which is a force maybe greater than anything else. And it's such a fascinating book, and it clearly is your legacy. But I hope we will both live to see the reality behind this come to the forefront so that it is technology that we actually could use.
There's over 800 color images and diagrams in the book. It's over a 500-page book. It's like a engineering textbook, but it's not hard to read. And actually, you don't even need to read it. You just look at the pictures,
exactly,
and they'll walk you through it. But you have words in case you need some.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's just it's one of the things I've moved several times since you wrote it, and it's always always making the trip with me and always will. And I hope we'll talk again, Judy.
Well, thanks. Thanks so much for having the courage to have me.
Oh, my pleasure. This is nothing compared to you literally put your life and career on the line. So thank you for that. All right, Dr. Judy Wood, and it is Where Did the Towers Go? Take a look at it and go to drjudywood.com.